Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science and music from Austin, Texas. I'm Michael Brennan. This week, we'll talk about the Rosetta mission to land on a comet next year. Deborah Bird is here to talk about watching the night sky as the seasons change. And Song of the Week is by South by Southwest showcasing artist Shaky Graves. Here's your scientist soundbite.
The goal is to understand the role then that comets have in being the first objects that formed in the early outer solar system. So we're actually seeing what the solar system was made of when we look at a comet.
That's Professor Michael Comey talking about the Rosetta mission to land a probe on a comet in 2014. More with him in a few, but first, Song of the Week is Built to Roam by Shaky Graves.
This lazy living, yeah, it sure tastes good. Make a killing down in Hollywood and buy ourselves a nice fancy home in the hills. Spend all our fancy old time spending $10 bills. Da 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 da. Watch out, cause here I come, more than lazy, yeah, here I come, nor did the dirty, yeah, so long, sad city of angels, you ain't been very good to me, yeah, you take that blood right from my body, oh, you take that bone out of my spine, yeah, so long, sunny City, yeah, I'll see you soon. Oh, spend all my money on some elbow room. Yeah, I wander around like I got someplace fancy to go. Oh, I'm the king of Brooklyn for all you. Watch out, cause here I come, bored and lazy, yeah, here I come, dispersing through, oh, follow me beyond the mountain, oh, howl at the old big moon, yeah, strip them clothes right off your body, dress your skin in sticks and stones, doesn't matter.
That was Built to Roam by Shaky Graves. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. 2013 has already been a busy year for comet activity. This week, Comet Pan-STARR has passed by Earth, and those in the Northern Hemisphere can learn how to see it by visiting earthsky.org. Comet Ison is also of interest, and it may come into view later this year. In 2014, the ESA's Rosetta mission will be landing a probe on an approaching comet. On the line to talk about the Rosetta mission is research scientist Michael Comey. So a mission to land a probe on a comet. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, the Rosetta mission is what we would call an orbiter lander mission. All the comet missions up until now have been basically fast flybys. The Rosetta mission is kind of more like the Galileo mission to Jupiter or the Cassini mission to Saturn, where there is an orbiter spacecraft which will basically match the orbit of the comet, so it will follow the comet over a long period of time, orbiting around it or doing small trajectory maneuvers around it. Mounted on the orbiter is a small lander, which will, after several months of studying the nucleus of the comet with the orbiter, will be released to go down and land on the surface and have a whole suite of instruments that will, certainly there'll be a camera to see what the horizon looks like from sitting at the surface of the comet, but also looking down at the material of the comet, and having various instruments looking at composition and temperature and the like.
And what comet are you going to land on?
The comet's name is 67P, and the formal name would be 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, named after the two people who discovered it.
And what are the goals of the Rosetta mission?
Well, the goals of the Rosetta mission are to completely characterize the comet, both the material on the surface of the nucleus, and to actually watch it throughout almost a two-year period, I think, at this point, beginning in late 2014, with landing in November of 2014, but then following it along for a little less than 2 years as the comet then gets to its closest distance to the sun and then goes back out. So it's meeting up with the comet basically and starting to take data when it's at about three times the distance the Earth is from the sun, which we call an astronomical unit. And then it will follow it into its closest distance from the sun, which is a little bit more than one astronomical unit, about 1.3. And then it will follow it out the rest of the way. So the orbiter will be making observations almost continuously during that whole period. And the lander will be working on and off because it runs on limited batteries. So it has an initial mission that will last for a few days, until the initial battery charge goes away, and then we have to wait till the comet gets close enough to the sun to get enough sunlight to charge the batteries back up again with the small solar panels that the lander has, and then it can have sporadic observations after that. So we want to characterize the composition, what the actual material on the nucleus looks like, how the activity of the comet really happens at a detailed level, which we don't know. There are a number of things we'd like to get in terms of the exact chemical composition, which we've gotten some information from past missions and from ground-based observations. And the goal is to understand the role then that comets have in being the first objects that had formed in the early outer solar system. So we're actually seeing what the solar system was made of when we look at a comet.
Okay, great. So scientists are basically looking at the composition and get a better understanding of how the universe was formed and what role comets play in the big picture.
But I mean, not just, composition in terms of, chemicals, but composition in terms of minerals and the actual physical structure of what the nucleus looks like, how the material is mixed and all that.
Okay, cool. So how big is this comet, and how big is its orbit?
Well, the comet is about 2.5 miles across. It's a run-of-the-mill small comet. It has a group that's called Jupiter family comets, which come around every 5, 6, 7 years. This one has a period of about 6 years. And it goes out to not quite, but somewhere near the orbit of Jupiter, and then comes into nearly the orbit of the Earth. So it's been, it's been observed since, I think, the 1960s sometime when it was first discovered.
Okay, so it's going to reach the comet in May of 2014. You said the probe should land in November 2014?
November of 2014, yes.
Great. Well, 2013 is an exciting year for comets. Turns out 2014 should be a pretty exciting year, too.
2014, 2015, and into 2016, hopefully.
Great. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Okay.
That was research scientist Michael Comey talking about the Rosetta mission to land a probe on a comet in 2014. Here's South by Southwest showcasing artist, the Eastern Sea. The song's called The Snow.
I hope that the doctors in your town can give you the pills that you crave. I hope that they teach your mind how to behave. And I hope that Jesus still saves. I hope that Jesus still saves. I know the doctors in my town. I know how much they get paid. It takes convertibles to hear what I say. But it takes heaven to hear me pray. It takes heaven to hear me pray. So when you wake up in the morning, you're too scared to go to school. Don't tell them all that you're leaving, and don't you play the fool, 'cause baby you're no fool. You're no fool. You're no fool. You're no fool. I know that you won't let me touch you. I've got hands made of ice, and they crack and dissolve when they feel something else. And they melt at a terrible price. And they melt at a terrible price. I know that you won't let me love you, 'cause you've got hair. Possibly go. Step down to the river below. Step down to the black river below. So when you come home in the evening, you're too scared to go to bed. Don't tell them all that you're staying, and don't you say you're dead, 'cause maybe you're not dead.
Listening to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science and music. Deborah Bird is here to talk about how winter is moving towards spring in our night sky. Welcome, Deborah.
Hello, Mike. You know, on the ground, we notice a lot of signs that spring is coming. It's getting warmer. I hear in Austin, Texas, the wind was blowing really hard yesterday. You know, the flowers are starting to bloom and so on. But if you look in the sky, there are also signs that spring is coming.
So what are some of those signs?
Well, let me tell you why it happens, first of all, why the skies shift throughout the seasons. And the reason just is that Earth goes around the sun. So if you think of Earth as having a day side and a night side, you can see that, let's just consider one time of night, say 10 o'clock at night. At 10 o'clock at night, you're standing on the part of Earth that's facing away from the sun. The sun is down from your perspective, and your night sky is pointing out in a particular direction. But as Earth moves around the sun, At 10 o'clock at night, 3 months later, your night sky is pointing out in a slightly different direction. 3 months later, an even more different direction. In fact, then you're looking opposite the way you were looking at first. So as Earth goes around the sun, your night sky is sweeping out this kind of panoramic view on the Milky Way galaxy, and we see different stars at different times of year.
So that's why we can see certain constellations better during certain seasons, right?
That's right. That's why we can see certain constellations at certain seasons. And here in, as spring is approaching, one constellation you might want to keep an eye on is Ursa Major, which contains the very famous Big Dipper asterism, very easy to find in the night sky.
Okay, so how can we find the Big Dipper?
Well, you know, in the winter months, it's a lot harder to find from here in the Northern Hemisphere, mm-hmm. because during the winter, the Big Dipper is low on the northern horizon. But as spring approaches, it starts to climb up into the northeastern sky. So in the next couple of months, say March, especially the month of March, you want to look to the northeast in the evening hours and notice the Big Dipper pattern. It's very easy to see in the night sky. It consists of seven kind of moderately bright stars, four stars in the bowl and three stars in the handle. That's what it appears to be at any rate. And so you'll definitely see it. So springtime from the Northern Hemisphere is one of the best times to spot the Big Dipper in the northeast in the evening sky.
Great. And we've talked about using the Big Dipper as a tool to find other stars.
That's right. The Big Dipper is one of the best constellations for star hopping to other stars. Mm-hmm. And so one of the stars that you can find by using the Big Dipper is considered to be a harbinger of spring, and that's the star Arcturus in the constellation Bootes. So Arcturus is a very bright star. It's kind of a reddish star. And when it shows up in the sky around this time of year, you know, sky watchers who are used to looking at the sky say to themselves, wow, spring is almost here. I'm seeing Arcturus in the evening sky. And so if you come to know this star, you can have that experience too.
Great. And I understand the phrase is follow the arc to Arcturus. So the arc would be the handle of the Dipper.
That's right. So what you do is you locate that Big Dipper in the northeastern sky. And again, it has a bowl and a handle. The handle is kind of curved. It makes an arc. And if you continue that arc on, just draw a line out from that arc away from the Dipper, away from the bowl of the Dipper, you'll come to that bright orange star, Arcturus.
Okay, I'll look for that. What's another star we can look for using the Big Dipper?
Well, if you continue that arc, again, we use the phrase follow the arc to Arcturus, but there's another half to that phrase, and the phrase is, and drive a spike to Spica. So if you continue that arc in the Big Dipper's handle past the star Arcturus, keep it going into sort of the southeastern sky, you'll see another bright star, and that's the star Spica in the constellation Virgo, also a star that sky watchers associate with the coming of spring. So Spica is kind of a blue-white star. It's a very interesting star, and that's another star you can find. Follow the arc to Arcturus, drive a spike to Spica, and if you'll come to earthsky.org, we'll have a picture of how to do that.
Okay, great. And we were talking about Spica being near the moon. What's the moon doing? Or last week we were talking about Spica being near the moon. What's the moon doing right about now?
Well, we passed full moon, and so the moon is now in a waning phase.
Okay.
So that means that it's been rising later and later at night. So this is the time of the month where people are always saying, where's the moon? I can't find the moon. And the reason is that it's coming up so late at night that you may already be in bed by the time it's up. So people start to notice as they're driving to work in the morning. Of course, it's getting lighter now in the mornings here in the Northern Hemisphere, so this might not be happening so much as it does during the winter months. But if you go to work very, very early before it gets light outside, you'll start to see that waning crescent moon in the eastern sky. Another star that you might look for in the coming week is the star Antares in the constellation Scorpius. And the moon, the waning crescent moon, will be right next to Antares on the morning of March 4th. Antares is part of the constellation Scorpius, the Scorpion. It's one of the only constellations that looks like what it's supposed to be in the night sky. If you look at that constellation in the southeastern sky in the mornings now, you'll see that it really does have a curved scorpion-like tail, and the moon will be closer to the tail of Scorpius around March 5th. And again, I'm talking about the morning of March 4th near the star, the bright star Antares, considered to be the heart of the Scorpion, and then on March 5th, close to the tail of the Scorpion. So those are two other things you can look for. And by the way, Scorpius is considered to be a summertime constellation. So we're seeing it before dawn now, but as Earth continues on around the sun and our night sky continues sweeping out this big panorama among the stars, Scorpius will shift into our evening sky, and long about July, we'll see it in the evening.
Great. Thanks so much, Deborah.
Thank you, Mike.
That's our show. Thanks for joining us. This week's show was recorded in Earth Sky Studio in Austin, Texas, which is host to the South by Southwest Festival this week. Special thanks to our musical contributors, South by Southwest showcasing artists Shaky Graves, The Eastern Sea, and To Take You Out Today, another South by Southwest showcasing artist, The Black and White Years, who've got a new album coming out soon. For more on the science or the music you heard, visit earthsky.org. I'm Michael Brennan. Thanks for listening. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much art, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't end is terrifying. What you don't know won't hurt ya. But you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't.